What is going on? Welcome back to our podcast. This is Jimmy.
And Ryan.
And we are the...
Husbandits! Yay!
Yay! So, after like several hours of editing, you know, mostly Ryan editing out all of the bad clips from our last podcast.
Mostly. I did all of the editing. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but you're the one that has the skill
set. And I had to research little tiny lizards.
Which I had people reaching out to me and said, I didn't know that! A chameleon's had big dick!
Chippy!
So, welcome back to our podcast. We left last time with feelings of, I don't really know about this. What are we getting ourselves into? Are people actually going to listen to us? Are we going to be laughed at? Are we going to be alienated?
That's a lot of feelings. I didn't really have any of that. I'm like, okay, just push submit and we got too much to do. On to the next thing.
Yeah, well, we knew going into it last week that we had to start somewhere, and that was really just our starting point.
Do you know how much of your stuff I had to edit out?
How much?
A lot of it.
What? I thought I added or contributed a lot to the last podcast.
Jimmy has been calling himself the talent when we talk about the podcast. He's like, I'm just the talent. I don't need to research.
My humps, my little lady bumps.
That's not how it goes.
I don't know. I got the, like I said, last show, I was like, oh, I got the hair. I got the curves. I got it all. I'm the talent.
Okay.
The talent has walked into the building.
We've got Jim Kardashian here.
Yes! I love that. Mm-hmm. Jim Kardashian.
There you go.
That's what it should be my nickname. Call me Jimsta.
Anyways. So we have just got back today from our Memorial Day / Jimmy's birthday RV experience. And Dinosaur Valley State Park.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Actually, we've been there probably 3 times this year, right? 3 or 4 times. We bought an RV this year. For a lot of you that know us, and for those that don't know us, Ryan and I, we have been fostering these 3 amazing kiddos the past 27 months that we're fostering to hopefully adopt. And one of the things that we've always wanted to do when we have kids is to be able to go out and like enjoy the outdoorsy stuff. And so we're like, oh, well, let's get an RV and let's start that now. We don't have to wait, right? So, and that's what we've been doing. But I think we should like go live and do that nomad thing for like a year. Could we do it with 3 kids?
Why don't you tell everybody about how you have strange little phases that you go through? So the The first one, I think it was when you wanted a pet pig, and then you switched to a porcupine, and then it was a turtle, I think, but then it went back to a porcupine.
Then I got a fish tank.
Then you got a fish tank, and then you wanted a tiny house for the longest time.
Then we ended up with 3 kids, because that was my idea.
Yeah, and we're exhausted all the time now. So. Yeah. But anyways, I was telling them about Dinosaur Valley, so I didn't really look at the weather. It was very rainy, very muddy. And a lot of the state park was closed and the trails were closed because the river was flooding.
And there's 2 state parks. There's Glen Rose, and then down the street about 20-30 minutes, you have Cleburne State Park. And so we ended up staying over there by Dinosaur Valley, but then driving to Cleburne State Park every day to enjoy the hiking trails. They had the spillway. We got to go swimming in the lake and did some really incredible hiking.
Yes, and the person that enjoyed it the most had to be our little Looney Tunes, Luna, our golden retriever. She loves to swim, so she was just diving in Baywatch style into the lake, swimming, and people were surprised because they've never seen a dog swim before, and she's just like breaststroking like a queen. Well, anyways, we had bought these little floaty rings for the kids for the lake to just kind of float around and have fun. And so we were playing frisbee with them at one point. It was more like dodge frisbee because we were trying to like knock each other over with the floaties. But one flew over by that dog and then he ate it and it popped.
The big dog, the Sigma.
He ate it.
So yeah, so my so we had a lot of fun and we enjoy the RV. We're learning more about the RV and the RV lifestyle. That's something that we're new to still, and so we're learning how to set up and whose role is to set up the sewer lines, and then whose role is it to get in and get organized and everything and figure, you know, I don't know, clean house, I guess, housekeeping. That's yours, right?
I don't think my evil glares come across on a podcast. But then when we went to go take our RV back to our storage, we kind of nicked somebody's car. Well, I say we.
That was fun.
That was very
fun. Our first little incident with our trailer.
Yeah, and we handled it like pros. No, we didn't.
No, we didn't. And then so on the way home, we're driving home. And Ryan, I look at him and I say, "Hey, did you get the? Did you take out the ball hitch from the back of our car and put it in the trailer?"
And do people know what a ball hitch is?
I don't know. What do you call that? A tongue? No, that's a tongue.
It's like the steel thing that goes in the back of the.
It's a ball hitch.
Okay, but if you told me what a ball hitch is, I'd be excuse me.
It's the thing that the trailer connects to the car on. Anywho.
Jimmy's got a hole in his sock and his toe is just hanging out of his sock.
But, so anyways, on the way back, so Ryan took out the piece that I guess locks it into place in our car so it doesn't fall out when we're driving. So he had removed the pin that locks into place. And as we're driving, I'm like, I looked over at him and I said, "Hey, where's the ball hitch at? Did you put it up? Like, did you put it in the back of the car? Did you leave it at the trailer?" He says, "No." He just looked at me. I said, "You left it in the..." I said, you removed the pin and left it back in the back, didn't you? I'm driving right now and it's not secure. And he just nodded and said, "Uh-huh." But luckily, I mean, we were like almost home when that happened, so...
I think it's pretty funny how you're saying, "Oh, Ryan untouched all those things and did all the things."
Well, I am proud of you, though. Like, you did. So, I went to the store this morning to get breakfast for the kids and then get air in the tires and clean out the car a little bit before we head home. And I'm thinking, okay, I got to go back. I got to do... I'm thinking of all the stuff that I have to do in my head as far as, you know, getting the trailer hitched up and everything packed up and us on the road to go. And Ryan did all of it. Like, he just, like... You had everything knocked out, like, taken care of. I was like, what?
I'm a pro.
Yeah.
And it's very motivational when, you know, normally in the RV, the kids will go play outside and the Luna will be outside or the dog, whoever we take, will be out there. But because it's raining and so muddy, it's pretty much all of us in this trailer and locked in a confined space together where it's like, I'm going to start packing this stuff up and we are going to go and skedaddle
as soon as I walked in from being out, he's like, "Aren't you proud of me?" And he just started going off on everything that he did.
Yep. Ready.
Yeah.
The drive home, it was about 3 hours.
Yeah.
I'm tired and we're a little sleepy. We just got done getting the kids ready into bed. And that's a whole process, too. Oh, and we got makeovers from Maya. She did our hair.
Yeah, Maya did my hair and made it look so fabulous.
Yeah, we're like very fabulous gays today with our fancy hair.
I love her. So, we had a lot going on today. And then Ryan went out and got cake for my birthday. He's so thoughtful. I like reminded him, "Hey, it was my birthday and I wanted a cake. So, go get me some cake." Well, now I guess it's time for our, what do we call it? The banter part? The bandit. Bandit banter.
Bandit banter, biscuit.
Oh, biscuit. Biscuit.
Biscuit. So yes, our bandit
banter.
Wait, do your little voice again.
Bandit banter, y'all. Let's get on with this bandit banter.
You're the talent, air quotes.
I am. That's why I'm here. Okay. So, okay, I guess let's kind of get to know you. This is our get to know you part. We're not going to call it bandit banter because, like,
bandit banter, biscuit.
Bandit banter, biscuit. Oh, yeah, baby. Woohoo. So, but we're going to call this our getting to know us. So, I will ask this week, I'll come up with the questions and Ryan and I will, you know, of course, we'll ask each other. But then next week, Ryan will. What superpower would you have if you could only have a superpower for one day?
For one day.
Yeah, you only get to have superpower for one day.
I would have... Well, if it's for one day, goodness gracious. I would want to have the power of teleportation. Because if it's one day, you can teleport all over the world in like a second. So you can be like, oh, I'm going to go see the Harry Potter land. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go over to New Zealand. And then let's pop over to Japan.
I already know it. Can I tell you what mine is?
Yeah.
Okay. Mine is hypnosis. I would love the power to hypnotize people into doing what I want them to do so I don't have to really do much.
You mean like your stubbornness doesn't work because people just give in to you because they're so tired of you being so stubborn?
I'm not stubborn.
That tends to work for me.
Do you really think I'm stubborn? On a scale from 1 to 10, how stubborn am I?
11.
Okay.
You know you're stubborn.
I am stubborn, but I, you know, look up my horoscope. What is my horoscope?
Why don't we save some content for the future episodes? Because you need to come prepared to at least one of
okay,
them.
Okay, I think we should read my horoscope like the next podcast.
Wow.
Unless people listening that are really close to us just tell us to stop. So if I could have a superpower for one day, it would definitely be hypnosis because then I could tell people, like I said, to do whatever I want them to do. But then also, it would be the power to charm people. Where they think I'm just the most amazing. Well, I guess I could do that. Hypnotize them to think I'm the most amazing. But then if I had the charm, then they would just think I'm the most amazing.
I think it's good that we're doing this podcast because I have no idea who you are anymore.
Really?
What?
Okay, here's another good to know you question. If you had, like, you know, like when we like go into places and stuff, and, you know, you walk in. Wouldn't it be cool, like, if we all had, like, introduction music that, like, introduces us and, like, who we are? And so you walk in. So just imagine, like, there's a room full of people. And you know you're about to walk through the door. And then the door is open. You walk through. And then music starts to play. What would your introduction music be? Like, what best describes you?
Well, I think in that case, it's different than what I would initially think. Because, you know, it's like that slow motion, like you walk through the door and you do a hair flip.
It's like Jurassic Park today. We were watching Jurassic Park with the kids. It's like da 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 da. You know, the door's open as you're going in. Welcome to Jurassic Park. Da 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 da. No, you're gonna cut all that out. Okay. So
I love how you're just, like, editing on the fly. I'm just like, oh, you're going to cut all this out. You know you're editing this week.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
I'm so not editing. Fun.
I want you to have to experience editing Henry.
But you'll have to help me edit. Love. What is it? Okay. Anywho.
So picture this. We're at a fancy restaurant. And then there's two guys in suits at the door, and then they fling the doors open, and here I come with the hair flip, and it goes, Prince Ali, 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 Ali.
I would like to sit in the front row of that show.
We were listening to that in the car today on the way home, so that's why it was in my head.
Okay, well.
So what would yours be?
I don't want to share mine, because mine's not, like, as good as that. Like, that's a really good intro.
Okay. He's got 50-something gold camels.
No, no, no. What's the other? I don't know. Okay. So, well, you have a really good theme song. I don't know if I can compete with that. Mine would be, like, something more scandalous. And, like...
Yours would be something with a booty in it.
I know. I love booty songs. Booty, 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 booty everywhere. Booty everywhere. Booty everywhere. I like... Okay. So my song would be the milkshake song.
That big fat booty.
Spin it around.
And bring it back to me.
So. So my song would be the milkshake song.
Because you want to bring all the boys to the yard?
Well, it's like, my milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. Damn right. It's better than yours. Yeah, it's better than yours. I can teach you, but I have to charge. La 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 la. I love that. That's my favorite part of the whole song. La 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 la.
Remember on Mean Girls, and then the little kid is like dancing to it on the TV.
I'm a cool mom.
I'm not just a regular mom. I'm a cool.
I'm a cool mom.
Oh my gosh.
So that was a good movie.
Well, are you ready to hear what I've got for you this week?
Yeah. Oh my god. All right. I'm ready. And you know, I just find it very. you don't tell me anything about what it is that you're going to tell me.
No.
It's like all like secretive.
It's secretive because, you know, this is your first time hearing it. And maybe I will tell you something you don't know. Are you ready?
Sure. Hit me up.
So, Jimmy, have you heard... Hit me up. What are your digits?
Okay. 999999.
Wow.
La, 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 la. La, la, la.
Okay, stop.
All right.
Have you heard of the Oak Island Mystery?
What?
No. The Oak Island Mystery. So no. You're in for a mystery...
Ooh.
With treasure and pirates and... I already said mystery, but you get the gist.
Yeah.
So
I... Sounds very mysterious.
It is very mysterious. Rumored treasure,
mm-hmm.
like the Holy Grail or, you know, tons of gold buried where people can't get to it with booby traps.
Mm-hmm.
So very like Indiana Jones-ish.
I love Indiana Jones.
Right?
I know. Let's get on with this bandit banter. It's not the last one of the swirl. That was like the original ones. Well.
But anyways, this is an island off the coast of Nova Scotia.
La,
do you know where that is?
La, sorry.
Where is it?
Nova Scotia?
Uh-huh.
It is in Canada.
It is off of the coast.
Yeah. It is in Canada, off the coast.
Okay. Well,
Nova Scotia. It's the Titanic. That's where the Titanic was supposed to, they have a Titanic museum. That's how I know it too. Okay. Oh. Anywho, what?
This is taking place on an island.
Uh-huh. It's an island.
Yeah. Off Nova Scotia.
Uh-huh.
Ooh. Oh, I felt like I had a burp.
Oh.
Okay. So it has to involve some pirates.
Okay.
Potentially the Knights Templar.
What?
Like, just a bunch of craziness.
How are they the Knights Templar? That was like... Oh, okay.
And even President Franklin Roosevelt was interested in the treasure and mystery of Oak Island. Since he was a kid, all the way till the time that he died, he followed the mystery for like recent updates.
Really?
And to see what was happening.
Yeah. I love FDR.
I know you do. That's why I put that in my notes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have notes. But anyway, so the Oak Island, it's about a 140-acre private island on that shore of Nova Scotia. And it's about one of 360-ish islands in the Mahone Bay, which I didn't look on a map to know what that is. So sounds legit to me.
How many islands?
One of 360-ish islands.
One of 360-ish islands? Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a lot of islands for just one small space.
Well, I didn't look at a map, so...
Yeah, okay.
Could be small, could be big. Huh. I don't know. But the discovery date of it is unknown, but it was first inhabited by Micmac. Is that how you say that? Micmac?
Micmac.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But these indigenous people were the ones that first inhabited, and the European settlers started coming in the 1750s to this island.
Ooh.
So that's where the story sort of begins.
Okay.
Is the 1700s when these English settlers started coming on board.
Yeah.
And the folks that were sort of in that area and that channel, you know, across from these from this island, they would see fires in the middle of the night, and they would hear like groans and, you know, noises and things sort of echoing across the channel.
Like the indigenous people doing that, or just like some mysterious
groaning. People that were on there, they would see the fires at night.
But they would never see them during the day?
Mm-mm.
Oh, wow.
From what I saw, no. And so they were thinking, you know, it must be pirates or ghosts or some craziness is going on at that island.
I love you.
In the early days of British settlement, the island was known locally first as Smith's Island after an early settler of the area named Edward Smith, who sort of came onto the island and was sort of there. I don't know. We didn't see him a lot in a lot of our research. But then a...
What was his name?
Edward Smith.
Wasn't that like that person, like the Pocahontas story?
No.
What's his name? Smith?
I'm pretty sure that is not the case. It's like John or James.
John
or...
Smith?
Do you know also in the car? So we heard the Prince Ali song, but we also heard Paint with All the Colors of the Wind.
Law of Attraction.
Don't you remember that song? No. Did you ever watch Pocahontas?
Yes, I did. Oh, okay. It was my favorite. I was actually attracted to the blonde stallion, John Smith.
Okay. Okay. Well, anyways.
He's so hot.
Cartographer.
But I was only like 10 or 11 or 12. I don't know how old I was.
Okay.
Okay.
So, cartographer Joseph Frederick Wallet Desbarres named the island Gloucester Isle, which in 1778. And shortly after, the locally used name Oak Island was adopted for the island because everybody was sort of calling it that. It's like way easier than Gloucester Isle.
But why did they call it like so? Because it had oak trees?
It had tall oak trees.
Okay.
So it was kind of its landscape.
That makes sense.
Very oaky.
That's a good name. Yeah. Oak Island.
Just call stuff what it is.
Like Skull. Skull Island. But Oak Island.
Cool.
Okay.
So anyways, around that same time, stories were passed around about treasure on the island, you know, sort of sparked mm-hmm. by those fires and the groans and stuff that people would hear. They thought pirates were there hiding treasure.
Yeah.
And didn't know what those folks were up to on that island. And so over the past centuries, the island has been known and owned by treasure hunters.
Mm.
So that's kind of like the history. That's the setup of this,
okay.
this oak island with the oak trees and the things.
Okay.
Are you following me so
far? I am. No, okay. I am. I know some of the people, like FDR, you know? It's like, you know, I know that he...
That's one person, because the Pocahontas guy is not in the story.
Is some Smith, Franklin Smith, or is it... Who is the Smith guy again?
Edward Smith.
Edward Smith.
But that's okay. the last time we're going to hear him, so okay. just forget him.
Because there's not enough research about him.
But there probably is. There's a lot of things on the internet about this story and lots of different views and articles. And oh. so if you're interested in more, go ahead and look that up because you're going to get the Ryan version. This is the Cliff Notes version.
Okay.
So anyways, one of the most popular points of interest on this aisle that we'll talk about is mm-hmm. called the Money Pit.
Okay.
So the Money Pit was something that sort of... became popular here. It's a shaft in or okay. on the Oak Island.
Or isle.
What's the difference between an island and an isle?
An isle is like a set of islands, right? Isn't that what that is? Google it.
But anyways, it's a shaft that was over 100 feet deep mm-hmm. in the earth that was stumbled upon by a teenager in 1795.
Okay.
So he's on this island. I don't know why he was on the island. Oh, I don't know. He was just chilling, you know, hanging out, like, woo, teenager, let's get drunk on this island, or whatever. And so he saw this indentation on the ground and was like, what in the world could that be? And it was under an oak tree. Uh-huh. So him and some buddies started digging this weird little indentation, and that's when they, you know, moved the rocks or moved the stones and came across this shaft that, you know, as they dug, there were, like, wooden platforms under the ground that were around there. You know, there were tool marks and scrape marks on the walls of the shaft. Every 10 feet that went down, there would be these oak platforms.
So they're going like down into the island?
Mm-hmm. Down into the ground, 100 feet.
Like they just randomly found this shaft
mm-hmm.
and decided they were going to go down into it. And they started going down into it. Like, who in their right mind would, like, want to go, like, explore something like that without, like, was it just him by himself? Or
well, I don't think they got very far. Okay. So, they were just a bunch of teenagers.
Okay.
Again, who knows what they were doing on this island.
Yeah. But going down on some shaft, that sounds pretty...
Yeah. So, anywho's, they were, like, okay, this is weird. So, basically, it was continued...
Shaft.
It was continued.
I just now know why you gave me that weird look. Like,
I didn't give you any look.
Yeah,
I wasn't hinting at
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, you did. Like, Jimmy, stop saying the word shaft.
Oh, yes.
I love you. Okay, I'm going to stop.
They gave up And we're like, okay, this is too much work for us, or whatever their story was. Mm-hmm. And then so it was continued by some teams in the early 1800s by Simeon Lanes was the name. And basically continued the work going down into that shaft, digging kind of deeper and deeper into the ground. And around 90 feet or so, they found this strange stone in the shaft itself. You know, it was a small stone. It was, you know, about 3 feet long or so. So, I mean, not a huge thing.
Yeah.
But it had all these strange markings on it, like this, you know, sort of hidden code or hidden message on the stone. And so it was kind of there at that 90 feet mark, and they call it the 90 feet stone is kind of the term for it. But
do they know how old, like, this stone was, or the markings? Like, is there a way to, like to tell how old it was?
Well, we'll talk about it a little bit, because the stone, not a whole lot of people have actually seen it. Mm-hmm. So it was a thing supposedly, and, you know, people sort of were trying to translate it and things, but who knows where the stone is or went, or, you know, what happened to it essentially.
Yeah. Somebody probably went down there into the shaft and took the stone.
Well, no, it's not like it was hanging out there. Somebody was like, oh, this is weird. Oh, wait, there's a hidden thing on it. Yeah. And like, it's small enough where they carried it with them. And
yeah,
then people were trying to translate it. But nobody's really seen the stone, you know, in recent history. And most of the stuff was like secondhand accounts or reports about it. But somebody was able to finally crack the code of what it actually said.
Yeah.
And so the most accurate or accepted translation of it was 40 feet below, 2 million pounds lie buried. So supposedly that's what it says. You know, 2 million pounds, like British pounds, like the currency. So 2 million pounds lie buried 40 feet below. So that was supposedly what this translation was. That's been, you know, the most accepted as what this weird stone with these strange markings actually says.
Yeah. But like the strange markings, like, is it like a language? Was it like somebody else's, like some like indigenous people, like did they put it there? I mean, how do they have pounds?
I don't know.
Okay.
But that's what it said. Okay. And if you look online, it has a bunch of like sketches or of like based off of what people heard about it, or, you know, what they believe it was or looked like. So it's like, well, unless we have a picture, I don't know how accurate that could be. But anyways, on this island, in this shaft, and, you know, throughout this strange place, you know, they found 17th century coins and gold. There were booby traps. There were leather shoes that they found, and actual, like, severed human hands. So, whoa. That's weird, right?
That's pretty weird.
And then they also found coconut fiber throughout the shaft and, you know, in a few other places that we'll talk about briefly. But the weird thing was that the coconut fiber, the coconuts, weren't actually native to the island. So somebody actually brought the coconut fiber there to work on, you know, the shaft area, or, you know, kind of the ground, you know, in some of the different areas of this island. So it's obviously man-made of doing something, whether it's treasure or whatever it was that folks were trying to do on that island. And we don't really know.
So where's the mystery?
The mystery is, what is this strange shaft? Is there actual treasure there?
Yeah.
What in the world are these things?
Whose hands are those?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Pirates or somebody, but...
And the coconuts, man. The coconuts in the shaft. Okay, I'll stop.
Anyways, the strange thing is it's almost like they engineered this island or the setup where, you know, if you were digging into that area, or if you were digging shafts and things within the island, they would flood. So water would just come and flood those where you wouldn't be able to dig deep enough, or you'd be making progress down, and then the whole thing or the tunnel would flood and you would lose all your work and have to dig somewhere else, essentially.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah. And then in the 1970s, Dan Blankenship excavated around the money pit And what was interesting about that is they hit about 140 feet down. When
we got past the 90-foot mark, mm-hmm. and went down even further into the shaft.
Yeah, but not at the money pit. This was like a different
location.
Yeah, different spot around there. And what happened is they actually came upon, you know, the water and then air. So there was air that actually was coming from that point where they hit. Like there was a, you know, an opening down there, or, you know, they actually hit upon like maybe a tunnel or something down there where now they hit air.
Yeah.
So they sent cameras down about 230 feet to the bottom of that cavern where they saw three chests. So there were like three treasure chests or chests of some sort down there. And that's where they also saw the human hand floating in the water.
So they went into the water 230 feet.
The cameras. They sent cameras.
The cameras did.
Mm-hmm.
And they found the chest and then the floating human hand.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so weird.
I know.
So eerie and
gross, right?
Yeah.
And then so they went down there to go look at those treasure chests that they just saw on the cameras. And they sent divers down and they could not find them anywhere. They couldn't find any of the objects or things that they saw when they actually went into the cavern itself. And so they came up, the divers went up, and then, you know, minutes later after they got up, the tunnel collapsed. So the whole shaft and the whole thing that they had dug collapsed in and of itself.
And the 2 million pounds. And the chests probably.
Supposedly, yes.
Yeah.
So basically, there's another point of interest in this island or on this island called Smith's Cove. And this is where there was this company called the Toro Company in 1843.
You know what Toro means?
Bull.
The Toro, well, okay. Oh, okay. I'm thinking Japanese. Toru or Turu, which means older brother, but you said Toro. Sorry, never mind.
I like your Snapple facts.
Yeah.
Okay, so the
Toro. No, I had a roommate that was from Japan, and his name was Turu, and it means older brother. So, anyways, okay.
So the Toro Company, in 1843, started digging in what they called the Smith's Cove, where they also found those coconut husks that I was talking about. Mm-hmm. So what they found was three layers on the beach or the shore. They found the sand, and then there was a layer of coconut husks, and then there was a layer of eelgrass, which is like seaweed. So it's like somebody had lined the shore with this coconut husks and then with the seaweed.
That's weird.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
So why were they laid there? Obviously, somebody put that stuff there because the coconut husks weren't coconuts on the island. And then the seaweed.
You're talking about like a layer of the earth's topsoil or dirt over time that gets pushed down.
No, it was like, you know, there was the sand on the shore. But underneath the sand, they had corn husks.
Weird.
And then after that, they have the seaweed, which, you know, seaweed, I'm sure that eelgrass or whatever it was called is like there. But you actually have to like take it and line it up, you know, on the shore. So that was weird. Of like, why did somebody put it there? Are they hiding something? Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
And so what they also found underneath all of that were canals, which ran underneath the beach. So these like tunnels or this drainage system that sort of crisscrossed throughout the island underneath those things. Because what happens with the corn husk and with the seaweed or eelgrass is that it prevents any dirt or anything from getting down into tunnels or
canals
or drainage system or whatever it was. So, you know, kind of the theory was that these drainage tunnels were a way to flood the money pit with water. So almost like a booby trap.
Yeah.
Where they were meant to like flood that with water if you like dug a certain way or you dug into the tunnels.
Yeah.
And that's why over time or over history, like any exploration or expedition that they had, the tunnels always flood.
So mysterious, so weird.
So weird.
Yeah, it's like somebody, so who put them there?
So that's the thing is...
That's a mystery.
That's a mystery, but there's some theories, and that's where, you know, the first theory comes about Captain Kidd, which was like this notorious pirate, you know, back around that time.
Yeah.
And I believe he was a Scottish pirate, but supposedly just, you know, word of mouth or all these like cryptid, you know, deathbed confessions of the treasures hidden here, you know, by Captain Kidd. So there's a lot of those sort of things that I saw. And then this Knights Templar, which I mentioned, you know, in the beginning, is sort of this other theory, is that the Knights Templar, which were those, and you know what the Knights Templars are, right?
Yes. The Knights Templar are, were they the, like the, like a religious sect, right?
Mm-hmm.
That were part of the Church of England. And they were charged with, I guess, keeping guard over like certain religious objects.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Am I correct?
Yeah. Okay. So they were like you said, they were these religious, basically they protect Christian relics. And it was like around the 12th century is where they showed up. But that's the thing, you know, a lot of speculation or things that came up across the island was that they were involved in, you know, hiding relics there or hiding some of these artifacts there and then booby trapping it or making sure that they stayed protected and guarded there. And so that's where there was speculation about the Holy Grail or the Ark of the Covenant and, you know, all those like famous, you know, type of Christian relics. So that's a theory there because they find all of these sort of like symbolism elements across the island. Yeah. You know, for example, there was a surveyor on the island, and I think this was around like the 1800s or so. But he was mapping Oak Island. So he would go around the island and he would like mark everything. So he would record every tree and every piece of rock or whatever the case may be around the island. So he was actually going around and started recording these things, and he came across these boulders. So he was, you know, sort of marking their location like he did, didn't think anything of it. But then when he looked at the map, it actually makes like a perfect cross across the island of these boulders that are placed where they make a cross that was about 867 feet top to bottom and then 360 feet left to right. But it wasn't something that they thought or he thought was accidental because they all had perfect 90 degree angles to them.
Hmm.
So it was like this giant cross. And the boulder that was at the intersection of like the horizontal and the vertical looked like a human head. And so that kind of ties to the Knights Templars sort of symbolism with the cross and the heart was something that sort of came across there. And there was also something that they found on the island. It was this rhodolite garnet stone. And it was in the shape of a red heart. So they found that on the island. And the red heart is a symbol of the Knights Templar because they have that on like their little outfits.
Their armor.
Yeah. So they had that on, or they found that piece. So it was really interesting that could be tied to them. And there might be some Holy Grail there somewhere beneath the earth potentially.
Yeah.
So there's just been a lot of different expeditions and treasure hunters throughout the years that have, you know, dug through these pits and, you know, find all these strange things on the island that they can't really explain.
So interesting, though.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool to, like, live in a place that, well, I'm sure our area has mysteries and stuff like that, but nothing like canals under the sand and... You got seaweed and coconut husk, you know, layers of it preventing water from going and flooding the canals. It's so weird, right?
It's so weird. And when I was reading it, you know, I thought about Lost, you know, the show Lost, like, you know, just these weird things on this island that they keep finding. But there's actually a popular show on the History Channel where it follows the more recent owners of the island or investors in the island, which are Rick and Marty Lagina. And so they had invested...
So they own the island?
Well, they invested 50% stake into the Oak Island Tours, Inc. in 2005. And so they were able to bring the state-of-the-art technology that allowed them to obviously explore further than previously. But so they brought all this technology because now we're in like... the 2000s and have, you know, more sophisticated things that we can bring. And so they found a lot of different things with this. They discovered those Spanish coins, a Roman sword, a carving.
Wow.
They were gifted a French map from 1647 with indicators for a valve, a hatch, and an anchor. And those sort of hint that treasure was from Africa. So strange. That's like another sort of lost thing, I think, of like a valve, a hatch, and an anchor.
Yeah.
But those hints of that it was from Africa. And that stone I mentioned, that heart, sort of red garnet stone, that is actually a popular stone found commonly in Africa.
Huh.
So that could be some sort of tie to this mysterious treasure.
You know, it could be a 16th century African prince scam.
It could.
For modern day.
Yeah. There's no treasure.
Yeah.
biscuit. So in a book
here's a biscuit for you.
Sorry. So in a book that she wrote about the island, Joyce Steele, she wrote the book Oak Island Mystery Solved, and she actually had a theory that the money pit was actually a tar pit to make pine tar for the British ships. So pine tar, it was something that was really required in that time because you needed that to build and repair ships, wooden ships.
Hmm.
So pine tar was something that there was a high demand for, but France actually had a monopoly on pine tar. So it could be said that Great Britain wanted to start producing their own pine tar and therefore used their colonies to sort of produce this resource that they needed for their ships to be able to get to different places and go out and explore the world.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So the money pit itself could have been a kiln where the tar was made. And so what it would be is that they would basically need somewhere where the tar would go down to the bottom. So the pit would serve as sort of a kiln. And it would go down the bottom. Those wooden platforms I mentioned every 10 feet down would help guide it down to the bottom of the pit.
Yeah.
So then, you know, when you think about those channels or that drainage system that goes out to the shores, you know, sort of from this area, it could have been a way to get the tar from that pit to somewhere where they could store it. So
mystery solved.
Potentially.
Yeah.
So
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's been, you know, one that's sort of debunked this a little bit, but it's still weird and it's still, you know, not 100% because there's things like pine trees don't grow there. So, you know, if you need.
But coconut husk doesn't either. And it was there. And so, I mean, it could have been there. Maybe they were trying to use coconut husk for some.
I don't know. Can you make tar out of coconut? You can make coconut oil.
I have no clue.
We have
no
idea.
Next show, we're going to do a recipe for tar using coconut husk.
There you go. Or just coconut oil. You can buy that in the store. But then the other question is, how come water that sort of flooded all these pits, how come that didn't ruin the tar? So if they get flooded by the water.
Maybe they could never use it. Maybe there was no need at that point. Maybe they spent all that money like building that using taxpayer dollars. And instead of telling taxpayers that, oh, we screwed up using your taxpayer dollars to build a tar pit because France had a monopoly on it. And well, we wanted to kind of go into business ourselves. We just decided to make a mystery out of it instead, calling it the Oak Island Mystery.
Maybe.
Anywho.
But yeah, I got my research for this from Wikipedia. They also had a lot of information on the History Channel. And they mentioned they do have a show on the History Channel about Oak Island that follows those two guys that have that investment. Also the Herald Weekly. And there was actually a really interesting podcast, you know, Unexplained Mysteries. I listened to like quite a few of those episodes from that podcast. But they also have a two-part series on the Oak Island mystery. So that was very insightful too.
Yeah. Well, I found that to be very, very interesting. I think the tar pit makes more sense. Like when you said that at the very end, I'm like, okay, that's probably what it is. That probably makes more sense to me.
Yeah, and a lot of it sounded like, you know, folks might be like digging into things too much. Like, oh, there's a red stone garnet heart that means that it must be the Knights Templar. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff where it's...
I'm sure the Knights Templar had a lot more stuff on their plates than to go and be digging tunnels.
Well, they had to go and hide stuff.
Well, yeah, they could hide it in a tar pit. Could be, you know.
But it's also like pirates or like Captain Kidd, you know, that sort of like famous pirate. I don't know if they would be able to fully like engineer this whole drainage tunnel system thing. So a lot of that too is like you'd have to have people that were pretty
pit makes more sense.
Yeah.
To me. That's just my mystery solved to me. Yeah. But we still should go and check it out.
How long does tar last? Like you think you would find some tar on there.
Yeah. So that concludes our show. Right?
That concludes our show.
Oh my God, right? It's like this is like the end of our second podcast.
I know. And you were going to have fun.
How do you feel about it? I loved your mystery. I know that you love mysteries.
Yeah. And I have a lot of other great topics that I will be covering during our shows.
So here's the thing with all of this mystery stuff is that Ryan listens to like mystery things at night prior to going to bed. He'll listen to mystery podcasts or stories or like audiobooks. And he'll want to share those experiences with me. And I'll sit there and be like, no, baby, I'm too tired. I just want to go to bed. Or no, I'd rather watch TV or watch a movie. So this is your way of like, so he's like, you know, he's found his way of sharing your mystery stories with me.
You know, one way or another, I always get you to like the things that I like.
Okay, where are we going to go on our next road trip?
I don't know. But that is our podcast for today.
Yes.
Hope this wasn't a hot mess. Oh, and also make sure that you leave us reviews, please, if you enjoyed our podcast.
Where can they leave us reviews at? I didn't know they can leave reviews.
Wherever they're listening to their podcast.
They can leave a review?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully. Because that will help
us. We're eventually going to be on Apple, right?
Yes.
Or iTunes or podcasts for Apple.
Yeah, they're a little backed up right now where our show hasn't gotten on there yet. But that's where I listen to my podcast. So if you're listening to somewhere else and eventually on Apple, just leave us a 5-star review if you enjoyed it, because that's going to help more people find our podcast.
Mm-hmm. And representation for LGBTQ+ people. Yeah.
Husbandits out. Bye.